The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. This has been a really busy week for all of us. In the studio, I've got my co-host, the one and only David M. Rappaport.
Good morning. Hello. How's everything going?
David, this is one of those weeks
Running around like
running. I was up in New York on Friday to spend some time with my alma mater, the Temple Owls.
Yeah.
As they took on number 4 in the country, the Dukers.
So I guess you weren't there for the Knicks-Sixers game, right? Who would go to that game?
Yeah, well, we've got the CEO coming in 2 weeks from the 76ers, we hope. And he's going to talk to us about what's going on with the Sixers, the 0-12 Sixers. I can just remember back to the days of 1980 with the team that actually
Moses Malone and Julius Erving and all them.
Yeah, went to the World Championship, and what an exciting time. And now it's like
Maurice Cheeks.
You need to take 2 aspirins to get to a game. Yeah. Anyway,
we'll
David.
Okay.
Yeah. Will be free. World Be Free was not on that team, I don't think. No.
No,
1980.
He was after that. Yeah. We know that. I'm just mentioning names, you know.
Guess what? Speaking of basketball, though, segue.
Iverson, right?
Iverson.
Nike. I mean, really.
Nike builds a sneaker in honor of Iverson, uses his image.
Well, No. See, you're wrong.
Okay, good.
They're more sneaky than that.
Sneaky?
Yeah, they claim it wasn't even have anything really to do with him, but it was the Sixers colors, his number on the shoe. But they didn't use his likeness, or they didn't say 76ers on the shoe at all. Like, nothing on the shoe says Iverson or the Sixers. But, you know, they said there's other colors too.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, it's pretty obvious what they're doing.
Meanwhile, they pulled the sneaker off the shelves.
Of course, because it was obvious that that's what they were doing.
I bought a pair before they pulled them off.
If you did, that'd be worth a lot of money.
Right. I'm going to wear them once and then sell them on eBay. The Dean Weitzman Allen Iverson sneaker.
They had one that was white and purple, which was a tribute to Kobe. We had his number 8 on the heel. Like, they were honoring certain players, and they put his 3 on it. It said neither the Iverson or the Sixers are named on the sneaker or branding on the shoe.
Yeah.
But still, they knew what it was. They had to do was ask him and maybe give him some scratch.
A lot of scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Allen Iverson, he's not doing this for, he's not going to allow Nike to get rich on his
Why would it?
Back.
Nike notoriously pays gazillions of dollars, so you pay up and you can use my likeness.
Folks, if you're listening to David and I and you have a question, a legal issue that you've been dying to ask us, all you got to do is give us a call at 215-227-2727. 215-227-2727. That's what you got to do, and you'll get in here. We'll answer your questions, and life will be good, probably. Don't expect the answer. Don't expect whatever you think the answer is. David and I are going to dissect it and give you the right answer to your question. It's not always what you want to hear. 215-227-2727.
Philadelphia Marathon today.
Made it a little difficult for us to get into the studio.
Pain in the butt.
I was at a wedding last night. God, I was at a table of lawyers, too. The whole place was lawyers.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't get out of there. They kept asking me for my autograph. It was amazing. There was a guy sitting next to me, Mike Rubin from Bucks County. Yeah.
He wanted your autograph.
Absolutely. He really felt like he was blessed just by having a seat next to Dean Weitzman.
Well, this guy's certainly... whatever. I can't. I have no words to describe what his go through his mind.
2-1
Mike, get a grip. It's Gene Weitzman.
215-227-2727. That's the number you call when you've got legal issues and you're in this area. Yes, sorry, Bob. You know, a couple people called me this week. I couldn't help them. One was calling on a bankruptcy issue, and it's an area we don't do. But I was able to give him some advice and pass him on to a friend of mine who does nothing but bankruptcy. So, folks, don't worry about what your legal issue is. Just give us a call, and if we can help you, we're going to bring you right in. But if we can't, we'll at least know who to send you to so that you're well taken care of. 215-227-2727. It's really the only legal number you need. After that, everything else is superfluous. There you go. You know, we have a guest in the studio today, David, who will be in shortly.
Yes.
And he was accused. He was accused of sexual assault. And it became public. It was advertised, broadcast on a news station. His job sent notices around to everybody that may have been a victim, only to find out that he had absolutely nothing, zero, to do with anything that was described in that news story. And the news organization merely failed to fact check.
Well, you know, it involves a teacher, I guess, and you know, suspected abuse of a student. And that's like the story du jour. The country is feverish over these stories. The news can't get enough of them. And obviously, you know, CBS couldn't get enough of it. Wanted to jump on a story and get it out there. Hey, we're going to be the ones to break this story.
So, well, folks, you're going to get to hear that story firsthand here on Court Radio. We're going to interview the victim. We'll talk to his lawyer and find out what's going on in that matter. Let's talk to R.C. from North Philly. Hey, R.C., welcome to Court Radio. Hello.
Crickets. There you go.
R.C. Okay. He had a cell phone malfunction.
Or he's sleeping. Okay, no. Back to bed.
Yeah. I thought I heard him in the background there, Larry.
Let Dean tuck you in.
RC? Nope. It's done. He's done. Call us back.
Click him off.
Yeah. 215.
You're dead to us now. Speaking of dead.
2727. No, tell us, David.
Marion Barry died.
Who's he?
Who's he? He's the former, well, now he's former, D.C. mayor.
Usually when
four-term D.C. mayor.
Usually when you're dead, you are former.
Yeah. Four-term D.C. mayor who actually in the middle of his term was arrested for drugs and admitted
drugs.
Using them. And
he was the...
There was
he
video was, with the crack needle in his arm, I think.
No crack needle. You don't know anything about drugs.
You're right, I don't.
Crack pipe. He was...
Whatever.
He was a smoker.
Who cares?
And he was smoking crack before anybody was smoking crack. I mean, he like brought it in and started the stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Larry likes all this.
Let's
stuff.
All hail him then, right? Larry's like loving that.
Well, anyway, he got clean, he got sober, he got back into, and he rebuilt his life. And for that, that's the good news, and continued to serve in the public eye. But he had another, I think there was another falling out. It wasn't a clear path of let's get recovery and move forward
right.
Unabated. There were some issues with old Marion, but he's gone. Rest in peace, Marion. He was, I believe, 78 years old, and he's been... He's, passed away. So we send our condolences to Marion and his family. Anything else happening?
I think we have to mention, Bill Cosby.
You do.
Only because he is, back in the news again on old allegations that keep coming up.
Keep haunting him.
Yeah, they keep haunting him. And nothing, again, they're very similar. We should talk about this and kind of integrate it into our guest's discussion today. Because it has some similarities, although there are accusers actually coming forward and saying that Bill Cosby did things to them. But there has been no charges, no real proof of it, and these allegations are years and years old.
Decades.
Right, but some cases. They're still dogging the guy, so, you know, interesting issues.
Yeah, you see the like stars like Bill Cosby,
yeah.
Who you know, maybe they get away with things that, you know, ordinary people wouldn't get away with,
right?
And I think that's kind of the story under the story is that, you know, because of his celebrity,
mm-hmm.
Folks just, you know, kind of turned the other way, turned a blind eye to that. And that's now there's the whole campaign with Enough is Enough, or, you know, I'm bad because I don't watch a lot of TV, but I know there's a campaign out there where sexual abuse and other abuses aren't going to be tolerated any longer. We're not going to turn a blind eye to folks who have power and prestige.
Except when Bill Cosby is concerned. But again, you're
I'm not
assuming,
sure. I'm not right. sure we're going to see the end of this.
But you're assuming. What's odd is so many women coming forward if it's not true, but it hasn't been proven to be true. What I'm more disturbed about is Bill Cosby himself and his react. Like, I don't know. The guy has seemed to turn into a little bit of a curmudgeon even before these allegations came up again recently. And the way he's handling it, you know, just he's going out and on every interview he can get, but then he won't talk about it or even comment on it. I don't know. I don't know if that strategy is a good one.
Well, it's unfortunate because it took so long to come up, and
yeah.
so much of the evidence is going to be stale, and maybe we're never going to know if it's real or if it's Memorex. Remember that commercial?
The MO is the same from every story, though.
Here's the interesting thing, though. You have somebody who is kind of on his par, Woody Allen,
yeah.
who's gotten away with, or not gotten away with, because nothing's been proven there either, but there's been allegations there, and that's kind of been shoved under the carpet.
Well, it's not an allegation. It's actually a fact that he ended up marrying his stepdaughter, but I guess the allegation you're talking about is that he was having shenanigans with her before she was of age? I don't know.
Well, no, another daughter came forward. One of Mia Farrow's actual kids
and
came.
And said what he was abusing.
He was doing the same to me.
Yeah, that never went anywhere. You're right.
Yeah.
Just kind of
pushed under the rug. Hmm. So, you know, that's kind of what's going on. And you wonder, though, why is it that Bill Cosby, people are up in arms, and on Woody Allen, they've kind of given him a pass, almost like, hey, he's an artist, you know? I mean, this is what artists do.
Yeah, right. Like Roman Polanski, right?
Yeah. All right, let's talk to Nichelle from Overbrook. Nichelle, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good.
Doing great, thanks. What's your question?
Okay, I'm separated right now. My husband is living in another property that we own. I filed bankruptcy, which will not end until early 2016, and what we had always done is split the bills down the middle because of that, because the bankruptcy comes out of my paycheck. Now, right now, and so far, he's been paying like he's been doing all along. And I'm inclined to think that when he realizes we're not getting back together because he was asked to leave, that he may get angry and not want to pay. And I just want to know what legal recourse I have
well,
to make him continue to pay his part of the bills, because I have a chunk coming out of my check twice a month and I can't take on, you know, the bills that he was paying.
Right. You're going to have to file for divorce, and as a part of that, you're entitled perhaps, again, it's very fact-specific, but you're entitled to spousal support during the pendency of the divorce. So before you actually get divorced, you may not be entitled to alimony, which continues beyond the divorce, but certainly if there's a differential between what you earn and what he earns, you may be entitled to spousal support right now until the divorce is finalized. In that process, in the divorce process, the equitable distribution, you divide the assets, but you also divide the liabilities. So that all of those kind of issues happen usually. Now, if you all are amicable and you can agree
right now, it's amicable.
Okay, well, if you can agree to those terms, there, you know, then a lot of that can be decided before, you know, you actually get divorced, and that could be worked out, and you all sign off on it, and each of you should have your own attorney. But if, again, if it's really amicable and you can work the details out before you get to an attorney, and you just need an attorney to kind of formalize your
writing.
Yeah, then that's a possibility. But that only works if you two have really good communication and you work out all of the details beforehand. Now listen, my Philly lawyer is doing domestic relations. We're up and running. We have a full team of people who are doing nothing but domestic relations. All you have to do is give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727.
2727. I have one more brief question about the same thing. Now, the property that he's staying in, it's in my name and his name. It's paid off. The property that I'm living in isn't paid off because we got a home equity loan to get that property. Now, I'm living in this property. If something were to happen, this property is in my name, but because we were married for 15 years, I was told by someone that it's really considered his property, too.
Did you acquire it after you were married?
I already had the property.
Before you were married?
Before we were married.
Yeah, but
okay, yes, the answer is possibly yes and no. He's going to be entitled to, it's marital property for any of the appreciation in value. So if you bought it for $10,000 and then 15 years into a marriage, it's worth $50,000, the difference between the 10 and the 50 or $40,000 might be considered marital property. Again, this is very fact specific. You can't go call your girlfriend and find out what happened in her divorce and apply that to yourself. You got to call 215-227-2727. And remember, on domestic relations, because sometimes, you know, we have been known doing personal injury and representing folks for literally decades in that arena. And in that arena, we work on a contingent fee basis. So we don't get paid if you don't get paid, and you hear those ads, and we make sure that our client's recovery is substantial, and we take a percentage of that. In domestic relations, it's all by the hour. And so it's going to cost you money to get divorced. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Nobody's doing it for free, and it's not cheap. But you need quality representation to protect yourself, because in the long run, spending money for a lawyer is going to save you a lot of headaches and a lot of money on the short side. Because if you don't do this right, it's going to cost you money one way or the other.
Mm-hmm, I understand.
All right.
I understand. Can I have a T-shirt?
Stay on the line. Monica's going to come back to you and get you a T-shirt. Just hold on.
Thank
all right.
You very much.
All right.
Thank you.
They all know, David, about the T-shirt.
They want a T-shirt. Okay.
They need a T-shirt. Yeah. It's all right, and I'm going to sign her T-shirt, and here is Nichelle's slip. 215-227-2727. David, we got guests in the studio.
We do. They're sitting here.
They're sitting here, patiently waiting. All right, well.
Who do we have, Dean?
We have Derek, who's representing his poor client, victim, and it's horrendous. Derek, good morning. Welcome to Court Radio.
Morning.
Who are you, Derek?
I'm Derek Steenson.
All right, it's Derek Steenson.
Okay, it's Derek Steenson, everyone.
Yeah, there he is.
All right, you can leave now. See you later. Derek's a lawyer, and Derek is representing somebody. Why don't you tell us, Derek, what's going on here, and then introduce your client so we get a good introduction that says who he is.
Well, my client's name's Howard Rubin. He came to me several weeks ago and brought my attention to a news story that CBS ran on him. I knew Howard from a little bit before, and I took a look at his case. And at first I thought, there's no way that CBS would do this without doing their homework.
Right.
But I looked into it. Howard was visibly broken up about it. And sure enough, CBS ran a false story about Howard without doing even the most simple investigation, without picking up the phone, calling Howard's former employer, or calling the police like they should have done.
Right. And they ran the story not saying that he was accused of something, that just saying that, and they put your picture, I believe, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. It just boggles my mind, too. But like, I don't know if you heard me say this before. This is like the news story du jour lately. You know, you get all these stories from around the country of either teachers, or you were a police supervisor, but teachers or people in authority at a school abusing a student. And it's obvious to me that there was just like a frenzy of, oh my God, we have a story. Let's get it up there because someone else is going to get it. And this is such a story that everyone loves lately. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, you
Let's
agree?
Get it
yeah.
out there. Let's get the ratings
Let's get
up.
It out there, yeah.
You know, and David Howard is a Philadelphia celebrity of sorts. Did you know that? Did you recognize him when you looked at his face? No,
no, but I've since Monica informed me. I didn't
know
this.
He's he is the hip hop cop. Howard Rubin's done security for Biggie, Bernard Hopkins, and other Philly rappers. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Yeah. So Howard, you where were you and when this story broke? How did you first hear about the accusation that you engaged in a sexual crime?
Actually, I was driving up Broad Street and I saw the news media in front of my school.
So no one even contacted you before?
No one contacted
okay.
me.
Okay.
So you pull up to your school. What school?
I live across the street.
Ah, okay.
I live in the neighborhood. So I have visual of my school. So I'm driving up Broad Street, and I see a news media van and it's parked in front. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? You know, I'm not thinking anything of it.
Right.
And then when I go park my car and go into my house, my neighbors are all like, Channel 6 was here. What's going on? You know, they have the cameras out asking questions. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, they, one of my neighbors, you know, gave me a number to, actually it was Dave Hendry from Channel 6. So the first thing I did was I notified my lawyer. And I told him, look, there's a news media here asking questions, this, that, and the third. And I left the area.
Let me get this straight, though. The one that was at the school was
Channel 6.
So they responded to the story from CBS.
Yes.
And they were coming out to find out what the situation
Correct.
Was. Did that create a media frenzy,
up
basically?
Yeah. Pandora's box.
Okay. All right. So when did you, in light of that, when did you first finally get someone, or did you ever get someone to come back and say, you know, oops, we shouldn't have done what we did?
Well, before that, did you, where were you when you got the whole story? Like when you really realized what they were accusing you of, where were you?
I was at my house.
What did they accuse you of? What was it that you were accused of?
Well, they're stated that I molested one of the kids from the school, and that wasn't true.
Wow. They...
That, I mean, you just got to understand how devastating that was.
Did the student even have a representative? Did the student
there was
have
no,
a... Com-
there
right,
was
that's what
no
I'm saying.
Student.
So there was no student that made
there
it.
There was accusation. No student.
Wow. Unbelievable.
This was completely made up. Folks,
I can't even fathom
this. This story has not even a scintilla of evidence right. behind it. It was pure fiction.
Right. I started getting phone calls on my cell phone. It's like, well, did you see the news? It's like,
God, can you imagine?
No, I didn't see the news. Then I go on Facebook and Instagram, and I'm like, who... And what mind would put this information, I guess, believe that after Channel 3 ran with the story, then...
That was it, everyone.
Everyone just hanged me because they already had their decision made up without...
Oh, when the news...
Well, that's what I'm saying with the frenzy of this kind of story.
When the news says that you've done this, then you've done it.
People,
you know, no ifs, ands, or buts.
And this story has such a ring to it around the country lately that people love it. They just want it.
You know, and it's disturbing and it's really disgusting that I am part of a nationwide frenzy of news media taking a story thinking that, oh, it's just another allegation or another sex case from the school.
Exactly.
They're just going to run with it, do what they have to do, and just destroy somebody else's life.
And we're going to come back in after 2 minutes, and we're going to find out just how this story destroyed your life. We'll be right back, folks, in 2 minutes.
It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today. If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. It's Court Radio and I'm Dean Weitzman, your host for an hour of legal entertainment. If you've got legal questions, we've got the answer. Give us a call on 215-227-2727. That's the only number you need to call in Philadelphia when you need a lawyer. 215-227-2727. And folks, you got to call me first. I still get clients coming in 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks after an accident saying, hey, I thought I can handle this on my own until the insurance company did me wrong. And we're kind of, you know, we're backpedaling at that point. Give me a call as soon as the accident happens. I'll square you up. Let's talk to Tom from Chester. Welcome to Court Radio, Tom.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. You have a question? We got an answer.
Yeah. I was in an accident a couple of years ago. And the judge had dropped both by a party bus. The judge dropped the case. Now I'm being sued, civil suit, regarding the people who's on the bus.
Okay, and your question is?
And the question is, can I be sued regarding to the judge dropping the case?
Well, I assume when you say that, Tom, that the judge, that there was potentially some sort of a criminal case or at least a traffic citation. And that's one type of case. It's a proof beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a criminal or quasi criminal case that actually the person or party who's bringing that isn't the injured people, but it's the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania versus Tom. That can be dismissed, and you can be found not guilty, but that's not necessarily going to prevent. It won't prevent the possibility of having a civil case brought against you by injured parties. Completely different case, completely different parties. It's not the Commonwealth. It's the injured party suing you, and it's a different standard. It's not proof beyond a reasonable doubt. It's just a negligence standard. And so the quick answer to your question is yes. As long as that case was brought within 2 years of the accident, that's the statute of limitations, then that case can go forward, even though there was some other type of case that you described that was dismissed. And if you had insurance at the time, what you need to do is just turn that paperwork over to your insurance company and they'll represent you because you are the defendant entitled to representation in that case for free.
Yes, I did have insurance.
Okay.
But the insurance company are saying that the insurance only go up to a certain amount and I have to pay the rest regarding to the accident.
Right. Now let's say you had you injured potentially five or six people on the bus. And you only had a minimum Pennsylvania policy. Just to be legal in Pennsylvania, all you need to have is $15,000 over $30,000 worth of insurance, which means no one person can recover more than $15,000, but as a group, they can't recover more than $30,000 from your insurance company. That's all you've purchased. In that case, then the most your insurance company will pay out is $30,000. But if judgments come in against you for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, then in that case, you will potentially be upside down by that the difference between 30 and whatever they find against you. And so your insurance company is saying to you, hey, we'll represent you. And yes, we'll pay the first 30. But if there's more than that, it's coming out of your pocket. So for that, you may want to have your own private counsel. Now, as a practical matter, most attorneys won't pursue a underinsured defendant, but it may go further than, you know, just a claim. It may actually go into court. And so you don't know how this is going to play out, though frequently, the good news, Tom, is frequently at some point down the line, there will be a settlement and your insurance company will protect you by offering up your policy and paying the policy and getting releases from all the parties on your behalf. So, but you still may want to have an attorney that looks everything over and makes sure you're protected. But for that, you would have to pay out of pocket. And if that's not something you're capable of doing, then you're going to have to rely on the insurance company solely. But they're giving you the options. That's all they're doing at this point. You don't have to get somebody, but you have the option of getting somebody to represent you personally, and now if your insurance company refuses to pay out your policy, there could be a problem, but I doubt that's going to happen given the facts as you describe them.
Okay.
All right, Tom. If you need more advice, if you want, you know, you can always come in and bring your paperwork and we can sit down and talk with you. Just give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727.
Thank you.
All right, Tom. Take care, bud. All right, let's talk to Emma from North Philly. Emma, welcome to Court Radio.
Good
morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question?
I'm calling because I had an accident. I fell in some semen a few years back, and my settlement was for $19,000, but the lawyer only gave me $1,900. And at the time, I didn't know what was going on, and I think somehow that he might have duped me, and I don't know. I did write the disciplinary. I'm trying to find out what to do.
Well, okay. When this happens, what I always tell clients or potential clients is you need to communicate with the lawyer, and the lawyer needs to give you what's called a settlement statement or distribution sheet, which breaks down the settlement. Now, it sounds horrible that you get a $19,000 settlement and end up with $1,900, but it wouldn't be the first time I've seen that. It won't be the last. Sometimes that's kind of what happens. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One is that you could have medical expenses from that accident that needed to be paid out of that. There could be child support that gets pulled out. There could be liens for.
It wasn't none of that. He told me the check got lost. He told me all these different stories. It was a mess. And I couldn't really do nothing about it at the time because of my situation. But I've been thinking about it over a year. I did write the disciplinary board. And they sent me these papers, but I don't know how to fill it out. And I really feel that this happened because he had me come down City Hall 3 or 4 times. See, I had to sit in the library I don't know what was going on, but now my mind is clear. I'm looking back on it. He gave me a check out of his pocket.
Well, as ironic as this may sound, you should probably consult with a lawyer to fill out the papers that you're going to be submitting to go against your lawyer that you had before. Because if, in fact, there was some shenanigans, then it's going to ultimately maybe lead to a lawsuit or something to try and get money back. And
so I should fill out the papers?
Well, you should consult with a lawyer to fill out the papers.
Well, who can I consult with? Because I don't even know how to fill out the papers.
Yeah, well, all right. You can give us a call during the week. And, you know, one of the ways to communicate with us also, by the way, and you bring up you give me a good reason to say this. Sometimes people have a hard time getting me, Dean Weitzman, on the phone because there's hundreds of people who are calling regularly to talk to me. I will say that sometimes the best way to communicate with me is by email. And that is to send an email to dean@myphillylawyer.com. That's simple, right?
Okay.
dean@myphillylawyer. And then I have the opportunity to cull through that at my leisure and get answers back to you. But I'm going to want to see, I can rest assured that whatever paperwork you have, I'm going to want to see in order to give you my best advice.
Get everything together.
Good. So you get everything together, and maybe even you drop it off at the office, and then I get to get a copy of it, and I get to take a look at it, and then I can communicate with you after that, because it may just be that you need some explanation. Sometimes clients just need to be, you know, to have somebody they trust to look something over and give them the correct explanation, and then it all makes sense. I'm not saying that there's not some shenanigans or funny business going on, because they're very well maybe. He won't be the first or last lawyer to rip a client off if that were the case. But oftentimes, frequently, there's nothing going on. It's just that the client and the lawyer don't know how to communicate with one another, and the client just needs somebody to explain to him or her what was going on. And so I'll be happy to do that for you, Emma, and just give us a call or drop the paperwork off, and I'll get back in touch with you. 215-227, dean@myphillylawyer.com.
You know, this would make a good segue back to our guest, because unlike CBS.
Yes.
You're advising her to get in touch with you so you can investigate to make sure or to determine whether the attorney did her right or wrong before any allegation is made that the attorney did something wrong. Unlike what happened to Mr. Rubin, which is a call comes in from someone, we don't know who, or maybe you do know who, we'll get into that, but accusing you of something that just never happened, and then everyone jumps on the bandwagon. News people.
You probably don't know this, Howard, but did you learn how CBS 3 even got your name in their corporate mouth? I mean, like, they spin a wheel, and Howard Rubin came up.
We'll put it this way: we're pretty sure we know who did it. But we don't have any proof, so we're not going to be irresponsible and put his name out in the airways.
Okay. Right. So you suspect somebody called CBS 3 and dropped this false allegation into their laps, and they did absolutely nothing. Did you get a call from CBS 3 before the story ran saying, hey, Howard, is this true?
No, I did not.
Yeah, yeah. And so they just ran with the story. And you find out by driving up or looking out and seeing news vans outside of the school where you work.
Actually, when the picture was put on the internet, I was at my son's house, and he received a phone call, and we get on the internet on our phones and finding that my picture with suspect.
Oh, geez.
Written under it, and my kids start calling me, my sister starts calling me, and I was like, what's going on here? And then I'm like puzzled, because it's the first time I'm actually seeing, you know, in the afternoon I see the news van, but then at night I go over to my son's house. And that's when I actually see it on the internet.
You saw the story itself.
I saw the story itself. And that's when I contacted my lawyer. And, you know, by his advice, I just did what he told me to do.
Howard.
Which I'm sure is
I can't even,
nothing. Say nothing, do nothing.
I can't even imagine what it's like to have lived in your shoes. When you get calls from your own kids, Dad, what's going on?
It's heartbreaking. It's devastating. It's painful. It's depressing.
And you know what, Howard? You're probably not the first person who's had this happen to them. How many people's lives are destroyed by the media without any fact checks, without any, you know, any regard for your life and for what they're about to do?
They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care.
No, and you made this point, Dean, I think off the air when we were talking about the story when we started. When people hear a news story, there's an implicit trust that lay people have. They hear the story, it must be true. There must be some semblance of truth to this story, or they wouldn't be airing it. That's what people think. Makes it that much worse.
Have they retracted it? Has CBS3 run a story to say, oh, sorry, folks, we're wrong. We destroyed Howard Rubin's life. We destroyed it, but we're sorry we did that. Anything like that?
Yes, they have retracted the story. They also gave me an apology letter.
How'd that make you feel?
It made me felt like I was just like a piece of meat. Felt like, okay, here's the letter. Now get on with your little life, and I don't want to hear anything else about it. But it's not going to go away because they're not going to help me get a new job. They're not going to help me regain the respect and the love and that I had in the music industry in my personal life and in the school life that I had, that I have dealt with, you know, with the schools that I have worked at and the kids that I have changed their lives with.
Well, I would guess there's an amount of people that you've come up with.
It's hard on a daily basis.
Well, people, I'm sure, have come up to you or you've heard that even with the retraction, still are kind of...
have their mindset.
Yeah, they're like arm's length from you. They think there's a possibility that could be true, right? Yeah, that's the problem.
And to be clear, the letter, the apology letter was not addressed to Howard.
Who was it addressed to?
To the principal of the multicultural charter school.
So it wasn't even addressed to you personally.
Let me ask you something. What did the school do when they got the information from CBS3, when they learned of the story? Did they take any action in the school against you?
None.
Okay. Did they send letters around to the student body saying that, you know, one of our employees is accused of blah, blah, blah?
Right. They put a letter out stating that the allegations from Channel 3 was unfalse. And it wasn't true.
Unfounded. You mean
unfounded?
Yeah.
They weren't true.
They weren't true, and they put a letter out to not just the staff faculty, but also to the parents and students.
Are you still working there?
No, I'm not. No, I left because of differences that, you know, needed a little bit more money.
That was before this happened.
I had better opportunities that I was looking at.
So this you were already out of there at the point that this story broke.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So the school itself, where this fictional student would have been that you had done something to, they knew right away when the story broke, this isn't true, because no one had come to them. No one had come to the principal. No one had mentioned a student's name. They probably would have known the name of a student or something. So they knew right away, this is untrue.
Correct.
Wow.
Folks, we're going to take a break. But before we do, let's talk to Raymond from Pittsburgh, who's got a question for us, David. Hey, Raymond, welcome to Court Radio.
Welcome. Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. What's your question?
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm trying to find out something on how to deal with a simple assault case.
Okay. So,
what can come out of something like that?
Well, a simple assault case can result in prison time, or it can result in a not guilty. It can go either way. It really depends, because there could be defenses to a simple assault case, like self-defense. And so, but you should have representation by an attorney, and you should, because otherwise the only person represented is the Commonwealth. They've if you've been accused, you need to have representation for yourself. It can be, you can agree, but you can agree, hey, I did it, and, you know, I don't have a justification, in which case you may end up pleading guilty. There's a myriad of results that could, you know, find their way after having been accused of a crime. Bottom line is, and my advice is always, make sure you have representation. And if you can afford private counsel, make sure you have a competent attorney to stand by you to assist you in the process. Because whether you were falsely accused or not, just like Howard has Derek sitting next to him, it doesn't matter whether you were falsely accused. I mean, it isn't like this is going to work out to your the way you hope it will, merely because you believe there's no basis for the accusation. So whether you're falsely accused or rightly accused, you need to have, and maybe if you're falsely accused, you even need it more. You need to have counsel standing next to you, making sure that your rights are protected. If it's happened in the Delaware Valley, Philadelphia area, please give us a call at 215-227-2727. We got a whole team of lawyers who are doing nothing but criminal defense working for My Philly Lawyer, and we'll be happy to help you handle your problem. If it's outside the area in Pittsburgh, you know, we can get you representation wherever you happen to be. Just give us a call during the week. Thanks for calling Court Radio, and have a great Sunday. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today. If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Hey, 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 welcome back. It's Court Radio, and I'm Dean Weitzman, joined in the studio with my co-host, the one and only, faithful as can be,
David. Old faithful.
David M. Rappaport.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
You know, this is the Philadelphia Marathon Sunday, and the city has been taken over by 30,000 runners. They're all over the joint, running their little hearts out, and we wish them well. It's going to be a good day to be a runner, I guess. It's not too hot, not too cold, just right.
Man, it's not wet.
Yeah.
It's all good.
All good. I think I'll drive around today and check them out. So let's
don't
talk.
Drive. You won't be able to drive anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I'm at my bicycle, David.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to get some exercise today.
Oh, boy.
Let's talk to Sandy from Bensalem on line one. Sandy, welcome to Court Radio.
Thank you.
What's your question today?
My question is, my car was in an accident.
You weren't.
Car was.
The car was, not you.
The car was. I was not in the car.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I loaned the car to a friend.
You loaned it. Okay.
And with the explicit instructions that no one else was to ride in the car or could anyone else drive it.
Okay. With explicit instructions. All right.
Okay.
I often ask my people, did you explicitly? Okay. Yeah. So you've limited the use. Now, what's your question?
They got in an accident.
My question is that my friend did loan the car to someone,
okay,
and it was in an accident.
Right.
And the accident involved two other vehicles.
I see.
It parked vehicles.
Uh-huh.
Now, my...
sounds like somebody was drunk.
I don't know. I didn't know the person.
Okay.
And the person ran away from the accident.
Uh-huh.
So now the two parked car owners are coming after you to fix their cars.
Yeah, my insurance company is saying that I have no liability in it. They're not, because
they're denying
it was an unauthorized car.
Right.
Right. Now, here's the deal. Your insurance company is probably correct that, you know, if you've loaned the car, it's almost like the car is stolen at that point.
Right.
And your carrier is not going to provide liability coverage because you have no duty to insure the vehicle against theft. However, your carrier, should you be sued, your carrier has a duty to defend, I believe. And so if you are sued, your carrier should defend you in that process. If they don't, you need to get you need to get representation so that somebody can raise these issues. Don't, again, just like the last caller, don't assume merely because you have a good excuse or a good justification or defense that somebody's going to raise it, it's going to get heard, and it's going to be decided in your favor without having proper representation. So even though the facts are on your side, you may need a lawyer to help you through this process.
Hey, my real question is, this happened almost 2 months ago. The police will not allow the insurance company to look at the car. And I wanted to know if that's unreasonable.
You know, they're doing an investigation, but for banging into two parked cars, did anybody get hurt or killed in this accident?
No.
Okay. Then that sounds a bit drastic to tie the car up for 2 months on this type of case. Was this in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Okay. I would say that that's too long and that you need to get your property because you haven't been paid. Your insurance company is going to pay you for your property damage if you have collision coverage on there, which I assume you do, which is why you want the car to be looked at.
Yeah, they've also called. It's one officer. They've also called, and he's
never in.
He works midnight to 8. He will not release. He will not allow them to even get to view the car.
Yeah.
For the damages. Meantime, I'm still making car payments.
Sure.
And insurance payments.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And do you think he cares about that? Yeah. So what you want to do? What you want to do is you want to get an attorney involved, and you may have to file a petition or motion to get your property back. And crazy as it is, you're gonna probably have to reach into your pocket just to get your car back, which seems very unfair. But maybe a letter to the appropriate parties at City Hall will free it up, perhaps. Depending. But you're going to need some representation, and you're going to end up having to, hopefully your insurance company will do that for you. But if not, you may have to do that for yourself. We'll see. But definitely, I think to answer your question, 2 months is too long for you to be able to get your insurance company in to see your car. And that's the quick answer to your question. But how to go about navigating through the city of Philadelphia and this police officer is going to be a little tricky. But you should pursue it and vigorously pursue it. And I think if you do, it'll free the car up quickly. 215-227-2727. Thanks for calling us at Court Radio, and have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
All right. Let's get back to Howard and Derek. His attorney, Steenson.
Steenson.
Yeah. No I in there.
No.
Double E.
I think there used to be.
There used to be. But you wanted to make it a little more difficult for Dean today on Court Radio and give
him...
But
he never gets a name right, yeah. So you don't have to worry about that.
Steenson, Derek. So you filed suit, or have you filed suit?
Yes, I have.
You have. And it sounds like, I mean, you know, a foregone conclusion. Who wouldn't file suit? I would wonder, folks, if you're listening and you heard Howard's story, could you believe it? Poor gentleman gets accused of a crime he has not committed by a news organization, NBC3 in this instance, who doesn't...
CBS3,
who doesn't fact... It used to be NBC. Who doesn't fact check and who puts it out there for the whole world. CBS3 puts it out there for the whole world, and poor Howard finds out that he's been accused of a sexual crime and has never even... been engaged in any conduct such as this. There's been no allegations. There's no child that came forward. There's no nothing. Just a false accusation that CBS3 ran with and put it out there. And his life has been turned upside down. He's suing them. And I think he has an obligation to sue them for everybody, for David, for me, for poor people who are at home right now, because we could all be Howard. Howard, you're doing this for all of us, not just for yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's going to happen at this point, Derek? Where is it going? Have you heard from them? Has their corporate counsel gotten in touch with you and started to try to resolve this?
They sure have.
Yeah, I would think. You know, I don't know. I would like to see this case go all the way to court and not settle, just to demonstrate to the news organizations that they really have an obligation.
I'm sure it was filed in Philly.
Absolutely.
There's no way they're going to – I would be shocked if they allowed it to go to court, you know, ultimately, but you never know.
Yeah.
When I say they, I mean CBS.
And in this process, folks, Derek is going to have an opportunity to conduct some discovery or depositions where he'll get to ask the questions that we don't necessarily have the answers today.
Yeah, like who called you and accused Howard of this?
Right. And
why did you rely on it?
And why didn't you fact check just simply CBS
Call the
3 knew Howard? They ran a story about him years ago and called him a hero. He took a bullet in a retail theft and you know, he stood up for the shop owner. He was a hero. And here they threw him under the bus, you know, years later and didn't even make a simple phone call. It doesn't make sense. It's total disregard for his life. And they turned him upside down, and they deserve to be punished for it. Was there punitive damages in this complaint?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's not just about compensating you, Howard, although that's important. It's also about punishing CBS3 for their, you know, their gross negligence, their wanton conduct, their total
willful
disregard of the facts and of Howard. You know, Howard, my heart goes out to you, and I'm sure a lot of other people's. I got a million calls here from people who have been wrongly accused of the same types of crimes. 215-227-2727. Folks, if you've got issues, we've got answers. Let's talk to Keisha from West Oak Lane on line 3. Hey, Keisha, welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. We got just a couple minutes. Make it quick. What's your question?
My question is, I wanted to know what kind of compensation can be done for my situation. My car was parked in front of my home, and someone that was driving an Enterprise rental car plunged into it and totaled it. And as a result of that, no one's taking responsibility for my vehicle because the driver was not the contracted driver for the rental vehicle.
Yeah, this happens all the time.
It's like the other call, a little different. But
a little different, but, you know, what happens is when we rent cars, we, the contracted party, are the only ones who are legally covered by the insurance contract on that rental car. If the name of another driver isn't on there, the insurance company and Enterprise have no duty to pay for the damages caused by an uncontracted driver. And so they are, the deep pocket in your case isn't going to be responsible, but the person who was driving would be. However, without an insurance company to back them up, The only choice you have is to file perhaps in small claims court on your own behalf against the driver of the car and hope that driver will pay the damages, or that driver may own a car at his or her home and have insurance, and that insurance may be responsible. But if there's no insurance in the picture, they don't own a car, then you're going to have to go after them personally. And most likely you will not get an attorney who's going to be interested in pursuing that case because there's really going to be very little money, if any, recovered. And so I know that's probably not, Keisha, what you wanted to hear, but that's the truth. So I would say you are the perfect example of somebody who needs to get an estimate for the damage and file suit against the driver and do it on your own in small claims court. But unfortunately, we're all out of time. And if you've got questions, you've got problems during the week, all you got to do is call us at 215-227-2727. I want to thank Derek, and I want to thank Howard for coming into the studio today. Keep us informed on how things are going on this case. David, see you next time, same place. Have a great week, folks.
The preceding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.